Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. الحمد لله. Whenever we get the opportunity to come in the house of Allah, the scholars have said that a person should make the nafli itikaf intention. And the benefit of that shall be, as long as we are going to remain inside the masjid, Allah Azza wa Jal is going to reward us for free. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentions that whenever someone takes one breath inside the masjid, Allah will reward him with 10 good deeds. So alhamdulillah, especially on a Thursday night when we come to the ijtima, so many blessings and so many virtues. And this is why Amir Ahlus Sunnah says that we would like to keep an ijtima on a Thursday, because there are so many blessings and so many virtues of the night of Thursday. As we've heard in many bayans from the Muballighs, that there are more than 60,000, or he says that 60,000 people will be freed from the fire of hell and enter into the gardens of paradise every hour this night. Alhamdulillah, we never know. We could be amongst them lucky people who are granted paradise. And inshallah, for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah forgive our sins and alhamdulillah grant us all paradise next to the neighborhood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear Islamic brothers, reciting salutations, durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a very, very virtuous act, and such an act that Allah azza wa jal inside the Quran, He addresses the Muslims, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe, Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, recite durood and salutations upon the Prophet, knower of the unseen. Now here he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. So a person, Allah Azza wa Jal, is addressing the Muslims that they should recite durood and salam and salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a beautiful hadith about the recitation of durood-e-paak. It's a long hadith, but I'll just mention one portion of that. It says that once the four angels, alayhimus salam, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The four famous angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, Israel and Israfil alayhi salam, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Sayyiduna Israel alayhi salam, Malakul Maut, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, any of your follower, your ummati, recites durood salutation 10 times every day, I will take his soul out the way I take the soul of the prophets of Allah. Meaning, I will take his soul out with ease. And the scholars, the ulama, they've commented on this, what it means with ease. And it says, just like a hair, a strand of hair falls into milk and someone tries to take that out. How difficult that is. It's not difficult. In the same way, when the soul of that person is going to be taken out, and he says, when a person's soul is taken out, even at that time, there is so much pain. So much pain. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. A Muslim who recites durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his soul will be taken out very, very easily. So alhamdulillah, let's all make our routine to recite durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, when we are about to depart from this world, inshallah, our soul will be taken out very, very smoothly as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Hazrat Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates a very, very beautiful hadith. He says that one day, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a Friday, while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving khutbah, the sermon for Jumu'ah. And that man, he says, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is lack of rain in Medina. Our crops and animals are dying. Please make dua in the court of Allah azza wa jal to bless us with rain. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked up at the sky and there were no clouds visible. He then made the dua for rain. And before he finished his dua, clouds started gathering and it started to rain until the valleys of Medina were full of gushing water. It continued. The next Friday, same place, same person who was amongst the people who came to offer their Salatul Jumu'ah, the same man, he stood up again. And he says, O Prophet of Allah, our animals are dying, are drowning. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayka wa sallam, make dua that Allah azza wa jal will stop the rain. It's been raining for 7 days now. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the dua to rain. So it's been raining for 7 days. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayka wa sallam, make dua that the rain stops. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again he lifted his hands up in the court of Allah azza wa jal and he says, Ya Allah azza wa jal, let it rain outside Medina, not inside Medina. And as soon as the Sahaba ikram, because they used to be so much in love with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they knew that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say will happen immediately. And the Sahaba ikram, they looked up into the sky and all the clouds were breaking up and it was raining outside Medina, but not even one single drop was falling in Madinatul Munawwara. Now my dear Islam brothers, these are what you call the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these miracles were given to the people, were given to the prophets of Allah, they were given to the awliya kiram, just like the miracle of Moses, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given a miracle that he would put his hand just under his shoulders like this, and when he used to take his hand out, it used to be bright. He used to be glooming, so it was like a torch for him. And then we know that famous waqia that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given a stick, an asa, and he would throw that stick and it would turn into a snake. And then when he used to pick it up again, he used to turn back into a stick. Now, all the rest of the prophets of Allah, they were all given miracles. And some of the miracles are recorded inside the Holy Quran, which are revealed by Allah Azza wa Jal himself. Such as the miracles of Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus. It says that Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet Jesus, he was given a miracle, and it says inside the Holy Quran, وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَسَ وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that I heal the blind and the lepers and I bring people back to life again with the command of Allah, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Now here we need to think to ourselves, all these miracles, what the prophets of Allah did, what the awliya-i kiram done, they cannot do any miracles without their own accord. It is always bi-iznillah, with the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the miracle of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, very, very famous incident, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was put into fire by Namrud. And then what happened? The fire became cold for him. So that was a miracle of Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu wa salam. And many, many other miracles which are inside the Holy Quran about the prophets of Allah. Now there is a hadith with the ulama, they've commented on that and say that all the miracles which were given to all the prophets of Allah. And how many prophets of Allah? About 124,000. Very, very important that we say the word about, because no one knows the exact number of the prophets of Allah. And the ulama, they say that all the miracles which were performed by the prophets of Allah on one side, and the Quran, a living miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one side, it is still greater than all of them. So everyone, all the prophets of Allah, they are given different status. Tilka rusul faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. All the prophets of Allah, they have their own status. Like Musa alayhi salam, Moses, he would talk to Allah directly. Sometimes we say that it's impossible, we can't do it. That is what you call a miracle, something which the brain cannot think. Something you think that can't be, it can't happen. Because today we are looking at everything through science. We are looking at everything through the eyes of science. But Allah Ta'ala's power is great. Inna Allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah Ta'ala has power over everything. So my dear Islam brothers, all the miracles of the prophets of Allah and such miracles which are recorded in the Quran or which are recorded by in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for us Muslims to believe in all of them is part of our iman. No one can deny, and anyone who denies the miracles of the prophets of Allah which are recorded in the Quran, that person doesn't, he no longer is a Muslim anymore. Why? Because he's going against the teachings of the Quran. And even if someone goes against the teachings of the Hadith, that person does not remain a Muslim anymore. So inshallah, today we're going to talk about some of the miracles which happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now remember, if you look at the whole world, and you look at the birthplace of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you know that Makkatul Mukarrama is exactly in the center of the whole world? So, and Islam is a universal religion for everyone. Islam was not only for people who lived in Pakistan or people of the Arab continent. No, Islam was for the whole humanity. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a hadith saying that I wasn't only sent a prophet for the humans, I am a prophet for the jinns and I am a prophet for the animals. And there are so many riwayats in the hadith that animals used to come up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they used to recognize who he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. And we're talking about living things. Let's talk about those things which aren't living. Stones, they have no life. Yet it says that one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a kafir came up to him, Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab, I think it was Abu Jahl who came up to him, and he had stones in his hands. He had stones and he was having them behind his back. And he wanted to test the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See if he is the true Prophet of Allah or not. So he wanted to test the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that he came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says that, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you are the true Prophet of Allah, if you are claiming that you are the Prophet of Allah and you are true in your claim, then tell me what is in my hands. Now imagine where if you're in that situation, someone comes up to you and they say, if you are true, then tell me what have I got in my hands. You know, we'll be, you know, thinking twice. I don't know what if I get it wrong, then what? Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wasn't even scared for one moment. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in return he said to Abu Jahl, O Abu Jahl, never mind me telling you what is inside your hand. What if whatever is inside your hand tells you who I am? And it says immediately Abu Jahl, he heard the noise, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because he was one of them people, summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un, he wasn't going to accept Islam. He threw the stones and he ran away. That was the truth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reality of Islam. And my dear Islam brothers, so many miracles, so many waqiyas, and even, you know, the non-living things, how they had that love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the old Masjid Nabawi, there used to be a date, a palm tree. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would lean against that and then give khutbah on Jumu'ah or other time when he was teaching the Sahaba-i Kiram. He would lean against that palm tree and he would give khutbah. And when a minbar was made for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specially so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can sit on the minbar and then he can deliver his khutbah. When the new minbar was prepared, it was in the masjid. Everyone was quiet, listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And suddenly the Sahaba ikram, they could hear a noise as if someone was crying. They looked around, no one. And he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started following where the noise was coming. And it was the palm tree. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to the palm tree and he said to the Sahaba ikram, because he's a prophet who could understand everything and anything. And it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the companions, this palm tree is crying because I am not going to lean against it anymore, because we've got a minbar now. So therefore, I've come over here just to make it feel happy. You know, and my dear Islam brothers, even palm trees, even animals. Do you know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a mule, a donkey, he would ride on. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically passed away from this world, this donkey jumped into a well and killed itself, because it could not bear to be away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So alhamdulillah, if you look at the animals, they had so much love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it says that one person who was a Muslim, he accepted Islam, and then he turned away from Islam. And he would tell the people, and he was one of them people who would write down the wahi. Whenever Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam would come with the wahi, the revelation of the Holy Quran, this person was commanded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to write the revelation down, to write the words of the Quran. That was his status. But he turned away from Islam. And then what happened? He started telling people that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma'azallah, is not a true prophet of Allah, because whatever he is saying, I write everything down for him. I write everything down for him. So whatever he is saying, ma'azallah, that is false. Now that person, when he died, the people of his clan, they went to bury him. And when they buried him, in the morning they went back to the graveyard and they saw that his body was outside his grave. Immediately their thoughts turned towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was him and his companions, because he was a Muslim and he left their religion. So therefore they're taking revenge on him, and that is why they dug open his grave. So they dug another grave, much deeper this time, and then they buried him. Next morning they went to the graveyard, same thing again. Third time they dug his grave so deep, and then the next day they went to the graveyard and they saw that his body was still lying on the ground. And then these people, some aql came into their mind and they realized that this is not what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his companions are doing. Just leave him how he is. And his body was not buried, it was just left there. So my dear Islamic brothers, anyone who talks filthy or anyone who accuses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the ending of that person. Now any prophet of Allah, not just the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any prophet of Allah, people, if they, ma'azallah, say anything wrong against any prophet of Allah, they become a kafir, they are Muslims no more. And sometimes, sadly, because like I said before, we have very, very lack of knowledge about Islam. And people sometimes, they start debating about these kind of things. Especially when they come into a mood and they start debating, and then they don't even know what they're talking about. And then these things, they come out. And ma'azallah, you will find a sect which even talks filthy about the Prophet Jesus, Allah's beloved Prophet. They talk filthy about him as well. And what they write in their books, ma'azallah, this is why they are classed as kafir. So my dear Islam brothers, to talk about any Prophet of Allah, anything, even a slight little blasphemy against any Prophet of Allah, is not accepted in Islam. Now, one of the greatest miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was revealed just a few years back in a seminar in Germany. And all the top scientists of the world, all the astronomers, they were all gathered together. And they found something. One person there, he was presenting his case. And he found something on the moon. What did he find? He found a crack all the way through the moon. He found a crack. And in their ijtima, whatever they had, he was trying to let people know what he found. And it was something amazing to everyone. They found something. Now, this was one of the greatest miracles. Now, amongst them, astronomers or the scientists was a Muslim as well. And he stood up and he says, that crack you found in the moon, that crack was made by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how it happened, was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Makkatul Mukarramah. And some kuffar, they came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, now there are some people who will want to see a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then accept Islam. And you will find some people who accept Islam on ghaib. You know, our aqidah is on ghaib. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Our iman is on ghaib. We haven't seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we believe in. We haven't seen paradise, we believe in paradise. So that is what you call iman on ghaib. Now, these people, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you are claiming to be the true Prophet of Allah, then whatever we say to you, can you perform a miracle for us?" And they knew that a miracle is only going to be in this world. He can't do anything in the heavens or in the sky. So according to their own thoughts and in their own minds, they started thinking to themselves, what shall we tell him to do? Tell him to do something which he cannot, mazallah, do. And it says that one of them came up with an idea that, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you are the true Prophet of Allah, split the moon into two pieces." And all of them, they start looking at one another, thinking to themselves, "We've got him this time." But what happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned round towards them and he says, "If I split the moon into two pieces, what would you do? Would you accept Islam?" And they said, "Why not? Definitely we'll accept Islam. But if you split the moon into two pieces." And it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua in the court of Allah azza wa jal. And then with his finger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he pointed towards the moon. And it says that the moon split into two pieces. And Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and all these big kuffar of Makkah, Abu Jahl, he turned around and he says, go around all of Makkah and ask people and tell them what they saw. They went running around Makkah, every person they saw, and he says that most of the people were gathered around witnessing this miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every person they would turn to, they would all testify that what we saw the moon splitting into two pieces. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Abu Jahl, "Never mind splitting it, I'm going to put it back together again." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua in the court of Allah and he put the moon back together again. And then he says, "Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, what do you think?" And they say, "That is a miracle. That is not a miracle, but that's magic. We're still not going to believe you." Can you imagine such miracles they've seen, yet they will not accept Islam? Now, my dear Islam brothers, all of these miracles, let's always turn our mind back to the word bi-idhnillah, which is in the Quran, from the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. Remember, a person cannot do anything without the command of Allah. Even we are breathing now. If Allah Azza wa Jal's command is that you cannot breathe anymore, we'll drop dead. In the same way with the universe as well. If Allah Azza wa Jal wishes and he wants to finish the universe, that's it. All he needs, what does he need? إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That when Allah Ta'ala, he wishes to create something, he just says the word kun and there it is. It's there. Now, it's not that he has to make a drawing and then he has to think, well, all these minuses and plus points. No. Whenever Allah Ta'ala wishes to create something, kun fayakun, he says be and it's there. Another beautiful miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, they were coming from a battle. And on the way, the Muslims, they ran out of water. They ran out of food. Nothing. No water, no food. And they still have not reached to Madinatul Munawwara. Still so many miles left here. And it says that at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent a few companions to go and look for some water in the desert. Look for some water. And he says that these companions, they went and they saw a kafila, a caravan. And they saw that on that caravan was a woman and she had some bottles of water. And the companions, they went up to them and they said, "Can you give us some water? Because we've got animals." Just imagine, this is a kafila. We're not talking about one person, two person, or three people. We're talking about hundreds of people. And then they had their animals, their horses, their camels, everything. And they borrowed one small bottle from the old woman. And the old woman, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Will you give us that bottle of water?" And she says that, "Yes, I will." So she gave that bottle. First of all, she inquired, "Who are you?" You know, who are you? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that my name is Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she says that maybe you are the one who is preaching about a new religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, yes, I am preaching about the true one Allah. I am preaching about him. And she says that here you can take that bottle of water. Now that bottle of water, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read something and then he said to the companions, everyone come. They all came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They started drinking. They drank, every single person drank as much as they can. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, bring all the animals. They brought all the animals. The animals, as much as they could drink. You know, he says that a camel drinks buckets and buckets. And remember, there's only one little bottle. So all the animals, they drank. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the water back to the old woman. And he says, thank you very much for giving us the water. If you can check, we haven't even used one drop of your water. We haven't used anything. And this woman, something was in her mind all that time. She went back to her clan and she says, what I have witnessed today, I have never ever seen that. And she says, if you believe me, then I think that he is the true prophet of Allah. And it says the whole caravan, the whole of the kafila, they all came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they all accepted Islam. My dear Islamic brothers, these are miracles which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself performed. Now, sometimes miracles can happen. Just like when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his foster mother, Sayyida Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she took the Prophet, because it was a custom at that time in Arabia, it was a custom that every child which was born, the parents would give them child away to foster parents, so that these foster parents can take them away, wean them, bring them up, so that they are healthy. And he says then when they are 2 or 3 years old, or they've grown old, they'll return the children back. And he says that Sayyida Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says that as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he entered the house of Halima Sa'diya, things changed. All of a sudden things started changing. Them goats, he says, Halima Sa'diya says, I had goats in my house and they would never give me one drop of milk. As soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed food came into my house, them goats were giving me so much milk that I was giving to my neighbors as well. So the fortunes turned. And she started thinking to herself, who is this blessed child? And he says, there are so many. And if you want to talk about the miracles, people can talk about the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all their lives. Our lives can finish, but the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never finish. And he says that one time, next door neighbors, they came to Halima Sa'diya. And they say, oh Halima, we've seen that the time that this young child has come into your house, your things have started changing, your fortune has changed. And she says it's because of that young child. And he says that those people, well, one person, she took her child, he was ill. And he says that Sayyida Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would dip the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's finger inside the glass of water, and then she would say to them, go and give this water to your child. If Allah willing, he will be cured. And he says that he drank the water and he was cured. Then what happened? Suddenly, Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she noticed there were queues, because people from all over her village and next door villages, when they found out there is a miracle baby in our village, and what his mother dips his finger in water and they are, you know, they get shifa, they get cured. And he says there were queues outside her house. And what Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha would do, dip the finger in water and give it to them, Allah ta'ala would give them shifa. And he says, even at the time, he says that one day, you know, our sweat sometimes it smells, especially when a person is working hard. Sometimes our body starts smelling because of sweat. He says that Hazrat Sayyidina Sayyida Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was staying at their house, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fast asleep, and it was very, very hot, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sweating. And what Salama was doing, she brought a little bottle and she was gathering all the sweat into the bottle. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up and he saw and he says, Umm Salama, what are you doing? And she says, O Prophet of Allah, I am gathering your sweat because I've never seen any beautiful perfume in my life. It says that Umm Salama, she would give that perfume to the newlywed women that go and wear this perfume. And they would all say, where did you get this scent from? And she goes, I can't tell you where I got it from. So that was the sweat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the saliva of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says that when one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a da'wah for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called his companions. Now when he went home, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or another Sahabi, it says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his house, it was scary. He goes, I've invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he goes to his wife, what do we have for dinner? What do we have? And she says, we've only got a little lamb. And he says, go and sacrifice that and we'll give to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when he saw all the companions in hundreds, he went to his wife and he says, we invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he in return invited all his companions. We've only got a little lamb. What are we going to do? So his wife, she says, well, don't worry, go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he might tell you something. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, O Prophet of Allah, I've only got a small lamb. I've sacrificed that for you, O Prophet of Allah. I can only feed you. I'm not that rich, Ya Rasulullah. I can't afford to feed all of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, don't worry. You've invited me, so that food is for me. I've invited all of them, so don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything. So when they were cooking the food, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them to cover that. So he covered with the cloth, the bowl, he covered that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put his saliva inside that. Now imagine someone spitting inside food. You do that same, people won't eat that food anymore. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put his saliva in that food and he says, make a line. And he says there were at least more than 700 sahaba ikram. They all came, they ate as much as they can. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned around to his companion at the end and he says, look, the food you made for me is still there. Allah Azza wa Jal was feeding them from the foods of paradise. So now, because you made my da'wat, I will come and I will eat with you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down with him and he started eating. So my dear Islam brothers, that is, you know, this, like I said, so many miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Nawawi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, a great saint of Allah, he writes in one of his books that in these narrations that he writes after these miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he writes in one of his books that in these narrations it is evidence for seeking blessings with the relics of the saints of Allah. Meaning even the saints, the awliya-i kiram, their relics, all these miracles. He says that you are allowed in Sharia to gain blessing from these relics. Such a great Sahabi, Khalid bin Walid. And there are so many stories about Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And beautiful person, beautiful character, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was once in a battle and his imama fell off. So that tells you the Sahaba ikram used to wear the imama. Why? Because imama is a sunnat mutawatira da'ima. A sunnat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all his life, he wore an imama on top of the topi. So, Hazrat Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, and whilst he was fighting, he immediately turned his attention to his imama. And he saw his imama was on the floor. And he was there looking for his imama Sharif. And he says that his companions, they say, oh Khalid, what are you doing? You're looking, why are you looking for? He goes, I'm looking for imama, I've lost my imama. And they say, forget your imama, we are in a battle and the battle is so fierce. Worry about yourself. What if you get killed looking for your imama? He goes, I don't care about my life. I want my imama back. So he was there aimlessly looking for his imama. And after the battle which the Muslims won, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his companions, they said, what were you doing? Why were you looking for your imama? At that time when the battle was so fierce, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, do you know what I have in them, imama? He says, I have the two hairs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my imama. I was worried about them. So can you see how much love The companions had for the blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today when we get announcement, especially in the Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Noor Sharif, when people make announcement, alhamdulillah, and so many people have the beautiful hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sometimes the shaitan will come, well, how do we know it's the real thing? My dear Islam brothers, you are doing it for love. Your love will guide you. Let your love guide you if that is the true thing or not. First of all, that is the love we should have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, today instead of, you know, assuming, what if that is not the case? What if that is not the case? What if that is not the true thing? Or what if? No, always let your love guide you. Let your love guide you if that is the true Tumu'e Mubarak. Let your love make that decision. One Buzurg Rahmatullah Ali, someone came to his house. Now this is the kind of ishq, love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam we should have. Someone came to his house claiming that he was a Sayyid. A Sayyid is a descendant of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's family. Meaning that he is from the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sayyid. And he came and he says that I am a Sayyid and I am a traveler. I'm very hungry. I haven't had anything to eat. Can you please feed me? So this Buzurg, who was a wali of his time, very, very pious and well-known person, he took this person to his house. He gave him respect. Fed him. He gave him water. He gave him so much love and respect. And at the end, he went and he walked with him to outside the village. And then when he was outside the village, this Buzurg, he turned around and he says, now I know if you are a true Sayyid or not. I know you are not a Sayyid. But because you were claiming to be a Sayyid, I did not want to say that you are not. Because I love the Sayyids and I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we must give respect, especially to a Sayyid. If you have a friend who is a Sayyid, alhamdulillah, ask him for dua. Because these prince, they are princes. Alhamdulillah, these are true princes. We're not talking about princes of this world, princes, princess, whatever. The true princes are, my dear Islam brothers, the Sayyids, the Sadat-e-Kiram. Alhamdulillah. And Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi had so much love and respect for these people. And it says that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he would kiss the foreheads of the Sayyids. That's how much love Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi had. My dear Islami brothers, alhamdulillah, the battle of Badr was the first battle between Islam and Kufr. That was, as you can say, the deciding battle. And there were how many Muslims? The scholars, they've said that there were roughly about 313 Muslims at the battle of Badr. And then so many miracles which happened at the battle of Badr, at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so many miracles. When the Muslims were only 313 and there were only two horses, one camel. And there were roughly about none of the Sahaba-e-Ikram, they say, that none of them had body armor on. And some of them, can you imagine, when you are fighting with swords and spears and arrows, they had nothing. They were going to fight with their own hands. How can someone fight with someone who's got swords and spears? And then, the kuffar were more than 1,000. But these Muslims did not give up. Why? Because they were fighting for the cause of Allah. They were fighting for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah. They were fighting for the truth. They weren't going out to kill people. They weren't going out because, listen, remember that these are the same companions who were tortured and who were killed for more than 10 years. And they were forced to leave Makkah and to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. Yet these Sahaba-e-Kiram never ever took revenge. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that Islam, there is no such thing as revenge in Islam. When the battle started, so many miracles were there the Sahaba-e-Kiram witnessed. Some of the miracles were that the Sahaba-e-Kiram, they were saying that as soon as we were raising our swords, the heads were flying off. We weren't even touching them. So this was another miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah promised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I am going to send you help, and that help was through the angels. And one of the miracles which the Sahaba ikram witnessed was just before the battle, the night before, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was assessing the battleground and he was looking at the battleground of Badr, and he was saying, in this place so and so will die. In this place, so-and-so will die. In this place, so-and-so will die. And the companions, they said, we never doubted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We knew whatever he is saying is going to happen, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so-and-so is going to die. But what came one situation where the Sahaba ikram really got worried. Because in one time, when one of the kuffar, He was wounded seriously, and he only had a few moments to live in his life. And he fell off from his horse in a different place where the Prophet ﷺ said he did not fall there. So these Sahaba Ikram, they thought to themselves, what's going to happen now? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that he is going to die in this place, and he's fallen a few feet away, and he's not going to come and die here. And these Sahaba Ikram, they say, as soon as we had this thought in our mind, we saw that that person was being dragged, and he was dragged to the place where the Prophet ﷺ said he will die, and then he died in that place. And the Prophet ﷺ said it was the angels who were dragging him to the place where I said he will die. My dear Islam brothers, alhamdulillah, all these miracles of the Prophet ﷺ we talk about, the greatest miracle is the Quran. Reading one of the greatest miracles of the Prophet ﷺ is a sign that we love the Prophet ﷺ. We can talk about so many thousands and millions of miracles what the Prophet ﷺ performed in this world. But the true miracle and the biggest miracle of the Prophet ﷺ is the Quran itself. Now let me ask you this question. How many times, alhamdulillah, our iman has been increased by listening to these miracles of the Prophet ﷺ? That love of the Prophet ﷺ has increased immensely in our hearts because we're talking about the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine. By reading the biggest miracle, the Quran, when you read the Quran, how much love you will have for the Prophet ﷺ in your heart. Can you imagine today, my dear Islam brothers, we are claiming that we love the Prophet ﷺ, but some of them, I'm sorry to say, majority of us who are sat here will not be able to know how to read the Quran properly. And that is the greatest miracle. But we don't know how to read the Quran. We don't know in your namaz, in your salah, to read the Quran is farz. In every rakat, to read Surah Fatiha is wajib, necessary. So if you are reading Surah Fatiha and you are reading it wrong, without the tajweed, without the proper pronunciation of the Arabic language, if you read it, then your namaz will not be accepted. Imagine we are offering our namaz, which is not going to be accepted because we can't read the Quran properly. So what do we do? Do we just live our life and we come to the ijtima, we talk about the miracles, we say subhanallah, we get excited, and then we go home, back into our beds again, not going to wake up for Fajr namaz, not going to read our Zuhr namaz, and we'll be so busy at work that we will not even get time to go and read Jummah namaz. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Qurratu aini fi salah, salah namaz is the coolness of my eyes. So we are here listening to the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we miss one namaz deliberately, then are we true ashiks? Are we claiming that we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all his life? Namaz is such an ibadat. On the day of judgment, the first thing Allah Ta'ala will ask about is your namaz. So offer your namaz. That is the biggest, my dear Islam brothers, as you can say, the wazifa. So many people, they come, they want ta'weez. We've got these problems, we've got these problems. Your problems, all the cures are inside your namaz. May Allah Ta'ala reward us, and may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive our sins. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Al-Ameen Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Sallam.
O Muballik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share. O Muballik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. See